the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's gospel, we have a very powerful expression that the world we live in is not just a physical world. It's not just made up of bodies and hillsides and swine and seas and boats. The world that we live in is made up of a physical world, but also permeated, intertwined with it, immersed in it, is a spiritual world. Demons were the first in today's gospel. They were the ones who recognized Jesus as the Son of God. Son of God is a spiritual being. God is spirit. Human beings have spirits. The spiritual world, in a way, encompasses, embraces this world that we see with our senses. So really, the most profound way that we can get started in today's passage is simply to realize that the world that we live in is so much more deep, complex, or beautiful, maybe simple, not complex, but profound. Because it includes the world that's invisible to our senses. And when we see that, we take the next step in today's gospel reading. We see that that spiritual world, once we acknowledge it, however blind we are, once we acknowledge it that it exists, we see that that world is a world at war, profoundly violent world. We speak a lot about wars in all different kinds of ways. When I was a kid, we had a war on poverty. We talked about trade wars. We're having a war against the coronavirus. Of course, in wars, there's always winners and losers. Sometimes we actually talk about real wars. Saudi Arabia and Yemen are fighting a war. Sometimes civil unrest is talked about as a war. But the real war is the spiritual war. It's not a metaphor. There's real weapons. There's real battles that are taking place. In the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians, St. Paul describes to us the armor that we're given to fight in this battle. It's all defensive armor, except for the sword of the Spirit. Even maybe that's a part of defensive, but that's the closest thing there is to an offensive weapon. So the world that we live in is profoundly dangerous, and this spiritual world has these ramifications into the physical world that we see. So the two men were possessed by these demons. Legion, or many, thousands, were told in the gospel. And they were so violent, not just to this man, to these men, but through them, to the world around them, that you couldn't even go that way. They couldn't be chained, we're told in another gospel. So the violence of the spiritual world has this profound ramification on the violence of this world. Of the physical world, the world we see with our senses. The realms are not somehow separated and disjoint. What happens in one world doesn't affect another world. No, these are just intertwined realms. We only have to speak this way because we're so blind to the spiritual world. But it's really one united world that God created. So there's a spiritual world in which we inhabit, and it's profoundly at war. Whether we like it or not, we're engaged in that, and the most obvious way in which we can become a casualty is to be blind to it, to pretend it doesn't exist. Father Roman once said that Satan uses different tactics in this country than he used under communism. Under communism, it was obvious. He was right there. It was obvious that Satan was there tormenting people, but here he's convinced people that he doesn't exist. And it's true in our culture. You talk about the spiritual realm in these sorts of ways that our gospel does today, we just get laughed out of the cultural discourse. It's very hard for us, even in the life of the church, to want to really embrace this reality, because we live in a world for which it is just madness. It's just laughable. The madness isn't the demoniacs. The madness is us who believe that the demoniacs are demoniacs. That there are demons in the world. That we have spirits. That there's a spiritual warfare. So then next, third, in this sequence of looking into this gospel, we see that our Lord, in the midst of this spiritual battle, comes to act. He comes to heal people. Typically, in the Gospels, the healings that he performs, the miracles he performs, are in response to someone's faith. Maybe the ill or diseased person, or maybe friends or acquaintances. But usually in response to faith of people. But not always. And here's a case where he simply acts. And God is acting in the world to bring about its healing in ways that might be hard for us to see or discern. It's easy for us to misinterpret God's healing work in the world, as it was for the herdsmen and the townspeople. What the two demoniacs experienced as freedom from this bondage, the herdsmen, we don't know the details, but apparently they felt it important to go justify themselves to the townspeople. These were just workers, and somebody else owned the swine, and all of a sudden all of the swine were gone. They were responsible for them. Then the townspeople, who presumably this was a good bit of their livelihood, is not without their livelihood. Their world is turned upside down. So the healing that God brings into the world very often looks to us like torture, like a coronavirus, like civil discord, like decisions that are being made by authorities, government authorities, church authorities, that we don't like. They're not going our way. Don't fit with our opinions. So often God acts in the world in ways that we are blind to, and our response is to justify ourselves, defend ourselves, argue against someone else, distance ourselves from others. And so our Lord is acting in the world, but so often in ways that we don't understand. I think it would be well for us to not offer opinions about so many different things, but it would be well for us to say, Lord, I feel blind to how you're acting in the world. Can you open my eyes? It's hard for me to see, to understand what's happening. You open my eyes. If we really believe that our God who created the world and sustains the world is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then that God, nothing's out of control in this world, however much it looks out of control to us. However much the world looked out of control to Job's friends, Job never lost sight of the fact that God was in control. He didn't understand what was going on. And even what little he thought he understood, God came eventually to show him that he didn't even understand that. But he always knew that it's God who gives and God who takes away, so blessed be the name of the Lord. So we have to live our lives in the midst of the spiritual battle that has profoundly violent ramifications for the physical world that we see, and that other people are interpreting radically differently than what we will see it and experience it and interpret it within the life of the church, if God's gracious enough to open our eyes. And then finally, we have the words of the people of the city. If we don't follow this path, if we don't live our life within the guidance and direction of the church, and by that I mean the whole history of the church, holy tradition for the 2,000 years, and immersing ourselves in that river of sanctity that is passed down, lived through trials that are unimaginable to us, be much greater than what we are experiencing now. Only if we live ourselves, place ourselves in that holy place, can we be protected from saying the words of the people from the city. They came out and saw Jesus and said, "Leave. Leave. All you do is heal people. You took away our livelihood. You disrupted our lives just because you wanted to heal two people. Leave. We don't want your inconvenience here. We don't want our lives to be changed in some radical way that requires us to be merciful, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to live for the other. You leave." And he did. God will not force himself on us. He will come to us. He will work miracles in our presence. He will show us that the world we live in is profoundly violent in the spiritual realm, and that the chaos that we see and experience in the physical world really has its root in this spiritual rift. And he will work his miracles here. And it will be up to us to thank him, to embrace him, to respond to him, or to ask him to leave. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.